This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Welcome to the fire.
Welcome to the fire, boys. My name is Parker McDonald.
And I'm Walter Lee, and we'll be your hosts on this episode of the Southern Collective Hunting Podcast. If you're a new hunter trying to learn the basics,
or you're a veteran woodsman just trying to get through your workday, there's always a place at our campfire for you.
Speaking of the fire, we would love it if you guys would join our growing Patreon community and be a part of the best and only digital deer camp south of the Mason-Dixon line.
Come on. If you'd like to learn more, click on the link in the show notes. But for now, Walt,
welcome to the fire.
All right, welcome to this is going to be my first live from the fire.
Yeah, mine too.
For turkey season.
Mine, period. I didn't really do one, but in deer season.
Yeah, you don't care about that crap.
No, I got important things to do around here.
Got to do honeydews, what's Walt say?
Yeah.
Get the honeydews done and the, what does he say?
Something about, we got to watch the boy.
Spend time with the boy, edit video.
We all know. He had a whole laundry list of things he had to do.
Yep, now that he's, well, we'll let him tell you about his stuff. I ain't gonna dig too deep into that, but we had a great time this past weekend at our Patreon turkey camp, and unlike the deer camp, animals died.
So that's
cool.
Several of them died. Most of them on the Sunday.
Yep.
I think how many birds did we kill Sunday? It was one, two,
four.
I think
four turkeys got killed Sunday.
Yeah, it was a good day.
Very, very good day. Sunday was pretty not great for me. I mean, it was okay, but.
Well, you've had some, you struggled up until Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you had some tough days, hon.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guided, that's the wrong word. He really guided me. It was his spot. Chicken Buck, one of our Patreon members, had went into this area last year and asked if Walt and I would want to come in there and hunt it with him and Corey. His nephew, and so who's also one of our Patreon members, and we were like, absolutely, that sounds great. And we were going in by boat with the mud motor. It was awesome, man. We had such a great time. But Chicken Buck has not turkey hunted much. Mm-hmm. Neither has Corey, so they wanted us to go and kind of just show them basic type turkey hunting stuff. And if you know Chicken Buck, which most people listening probably don't, but if you do know him, you know that it doesn't take long for this guy to catch on. He just needs to see somebody do something, and then he's going to figure it out, you know. And I think it's just a matter of time. We didn't kill a turkey, but I do think he learned a lot. I learned, too. I learned something every time I hunt turkeys in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was... those first two... I guess it was 2 days, I was just... I took a gun, but I wasn't necessarily on the gun. Mm-hmm. I was on the call-in, doing all that kind of stuff. And we had a stinking blast, man, going out in that boat. I have never ridden a gator tail boat before. And we went over some stuff, dude.
I hear those mud motors are just, it's another level of awesome.
Oh, bro. It's the manliest thing. You see a log sticking there. Bass fishermen are like, oh, no, log. These guys with mud motors are like, let's go. They were ready for it. We had fun, man. But we didn't kill a turkey. Heard a few gobbles. Got cut off by Walter. No big deal. No, it was fun. But you got to have a good hunt that day. So let's start off there. You want to start off there with that one? And kind of work our way through. I wasn't there with you for that for that turkey, but you were with me for mine.
Right.
And that story is a long one.
So. Yes, it is. Yeah. What my hunt, the entire hunt, probably lasted from the time we struck this bird to the time he got shot was well less than 10 minutes. I would say it was probably around that 7 or 8 minute mark from the time we struck him to the time I pulled the trigger.
Mm-hmm.
But that was still a very earned bird because the day prior, on opening day, Pat and I were hunting together, and we put in about 11 and a half miles that day. And we heard one gobble on the roost that was close enough to make a move on, and that was it. We made a move on him, never heard or saw anything else the rest of the day. And then it got hot, and we walked a lot, called a lot, did not strike a bird. And come to find out, you know, that was kind of the story in the afternoons for the remainder of the week that you and I have been here. But Sunday started off a little bit better in that we heard two gobbles on the roost. So we heard twice as many gobbles as the day before, but it was the same story. He gobbled a couple times at the roost, never heard or saw anything out of him ever again. And so we covered a handful of miles, like 5 miles or something at that first spot, doing the same thing that we did on Saturday. And then we decided to go to a whole different part of the public spot that we were hunting. It was just more of a change of scenery, you know, I guess a small change of scenery. Like I said, it's still the same property, but it's just a different area, different terrain. Just everything was a little bit different. And so we get up to the gate. Our first choice had somebody in it, and so we just went on to the next gate. It had somebody in it. We went on the next gate, and it had somebody in it. So it was our fourth choice. It was, you know, the next gate up, and we pull up, and it just looks, you know, overgrown. I mean, most of these gates and trails around where we're hunting, they're just, you know, they're two tracks, or, you know, however you want to call them or describe them, but they're wide trails that are big enough for a vehicle. Well, it was odd because this gate was just overgrown, and it looked like there was a goat path or a deer path through the woods going past this gate. So we were kind of optimistic right then because there didn't look like there had been much traffic. I guess, I don't know if it turned people away, you know, having to, you know, bushwhack their way through there for a little bit before it kind of opened up some. But that's what we did. Just hopped out, jumped on that little deer trail, and started making our way up through there. And after, I don't know, about 100 yards or so, because we went through there again today trying to strike a bird. After about 100 yards or so, it did open up. And so we got on the other side of the brush, and we just hit it, hit our honeycomb copper pot, just trying to strike a bird. And sure enough, we did. It was the first gobble we'd heard on the ground all weekend. And we were so excited. And so I immediately answered him back. You know, I just yelped or cut or whatever on the pot call. He gobbled. I cut and raised cane and everything else. Like, I was so excited to hear him, and I was. But then a cool thing happened. He didn't really gobble back at that. The hen that was with him started getting very angry with me. And so she was yelping and cutting, and then I was yelping and cutting at her, and just, we were just having a good bickering session there. Just me and the hen. And it was funny. Pat later was like, yeah, she sounded like she was taking out her earrings and coming in for a fight. And she was. And so after her and I start cutting back and forth and calling back and forth, he gobbles again. Now, the first time we heard him, it sounded like he was like well over 100 yards away, which, come to find out, when you're hunting around here, it's so thick, it's like late season. It's almost like hunting late season in most of the southeast. There's a lot of foliage. Everything's thick. Vegetation is thick. And sound is just muffled. So he sounded further away than he was the first time. But the second time he gobbled, it sounded like he cut that distance in half, which was probably impossible because that was just a few seconds later. So I think just simply him being turned away from us the first time and then being turned towards us that second time, it made all the difference in the world. And so it was at that point that we knew he was super close. And so we just dumped off the left side of the trail. I found just a palm tree kind of behind a little bit of brush and saplings and everything else. And Pat found another tree off to my left. And I got set up and I got ready. And the hen, in the meantime, she's still cutting and yelping and everything else. And I'm keeping her attention too. And she's just making her way down the trail. I could just, you know, tell by how loud she was that she was coming down the trail. She just never shut up. And then she came into view finally past some brush and everything else. And I shut up because I didn't want her to really pinpoint me if I was still calling and she could see me. And so when I shut up, she shut up. She quit yelping. She quit cutting. I guess she thought that I had left, but she started doing these little curiosity clucks. Just like, mm-hmm. Pop, pop, pop. You know, where are you? Where are you? Where are you? Wondering what was happening. And so she walked. My view, I could see her probably for about 15 yards. She walked about 15 yards, and then she actually got out of sight for me. And Pat said later on, he said when she left, she got out of my sight, she kept walking for a handful of steps, and then she actually turned around and kind of came back up there, almost like she needed a second look, kind of looking for me still. And so she went on her way, and it was just about that time that I heard him spit. I didn't hear him drum that first time. It was just like, pssst, you know, the uh-huh. first thing of a spitting drum. That's all I heard. I just thought it was kind of weird. But I just knew in my heart, you know, that was him. And so I'm just, you know, like extra ready now. I'm on high alert. And then I hear him start spitting and drumming, you know, like normal. And when he starts doing that, he's about 50 yards away. I don't see him yet, but I just know that's about how far he was. And then after a handful of seconds, he comes into my view. Now, he comes into view, but it's behind my line of sight. He's behind a stump, and this stump is like covering the lower half of his body. Now, if he had been right up against this stump and stuck his head straight up, I could have killed him, no problem. But just my point of view, when I had the red dot on his head or on his neck, half of my pattern would have went into that stump. And so I had to let him take a few more steps. But he did stop. He stopped behind that stump. And then he kept walking. He took a few more paces. And something
I got a question. Did she go by?
Yeah, I never saw her again.
She just walked by you?
She just walked on by, and he followed her right in her tracks. Hmm. I mean, never missed a beat. And so he keeps walking, and something, I don't know, it was kind of interesting and odd to me, and I showed it to you when we went back out there today. But he took like a step to the left, and he went and crouched, and he went under this vine. It was almost like you know, just a grapevine that we're all familiar with, you know, in the southeast. And there were some other, like, green vines hanging off of it, and it was almost just like a little gate. And for some reason, he just decided to duck and just go through that little hole instead of walking around it right down the road. Now, it didn't impede my shot, or it didn't affect anything, but I just thought that was kind of weird. And he's spitting and drumming the whole time, and he finally gets to a clearing between a couple saplings on the side of the trail there, and I stop and get him to stick his head up, and I take a shot, and it's all over. He just starts flopping, and I go up and I grab him by the head, and I'm shooting that 28 gauge this year, and the shot, he was at 18 steps when I shot him, so he was pretty close, and a lot of that shot went in his neck. And not to be too graphic, but by the time he got done flopping and everything else, and I'm holding him by his head, it was literally hanging on by a thread because so much shot went in there. I was tag driving with that little 28 gauge. But
it kind of hurt your feelings a little bit?
It did, because I'm going to have that bird mounted, But I'm sure, you know, the taxidermist can get another head for him. It's not like the head is really messed up, but where the wattles meet the, you know, the neck and the feathers, it's just separated there because there was just so much shot. All those number nines just did a number right there. And so that that wrapped up my Royal Slam and my public land Grand Slam.
That's so awesome.
And it's also, I'm hoping it kicks off a single season Grand Slam, because I'm going to go to, you know, hunting Tennessee, of course, and going to Oklahoma. And then if all that falls into place, then Jacob and I are going to go to Montana for a weekend and knock down a Miriam's, hopefully.
Sweet.
It was a fantastic start to turkey season.
You did it fast, too, man.
It was very fast. You know, we, like I said, by the time we struck the bird and killed him, it was less than 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And the first day and a half of hunting in Florida on public land, we got it done. And I was very thrilled about it, especially considering the days following that. You know, the day before and the days following that, with the exception of when we were, you know, hunting for a day and a half or a couple days or mornings, actually, around here, it was kind of tough hunting. Saturday, yeah, we didn't have a lot of action. Like I said, it got hot. They did not gobble on the ground around us. They didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And then they did the same thing Sunday, with the exception of the bird I killed. And that was kind of the theme throughout the rest of the week, at least in the afternoons. I don't think we heard a gobble afternoon.
Yeah.
The rest of the week, it's Friday. We're recording this on Friday evening. And we've hunted every day. We've hunted hard.
Hunted hard, long hours.
Long hours.
Late.
Daylight to dark.
Yeah, daylight to dark. And we have not heard gobbles after.
Mm-mm. At least noon.
Yeah, I mean.
When you killed, well, when
killed,
you killed your
killed
bird.
I killed at 12:35.
So, yeah.
12:30.
So, after 12:30.
Yep. And then the next day we heard gobbles up into like the 11-ish.
Like 11, yeah, 11 range. Or so.
But I think it has everything to do with, this is going to sound super cliche and kind of dumb, but it's the bubble that everybody talks about.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of have to get into it here, because all they're giving you are shot gobbles.
Yep.
For the most part. Like, I think sometimes my hunt, which we'll talk about later, those were not shot gobbles. But there came a time when they were.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, at the beginning, they were definitely...
They were interested.
Interested
in
gobbles.
Yep.
And they covered a lot of ground fast. But that's the thing I've noticed out here, is the shot gobble is pretty much all you're going to get.
Mm-hmm.
The bird that you were hunting yesterday.
Yeah.
We kind of got to a point on it where was it yesterday?
I think so. I think
I texted
that's right.
You and I said, he's only gobbling at trucks going by.
Yeah. And yeah, that was it. There, it's your textbook early season turkeys.
Mm-hmm.
At least for us. I mean, we up in Tennessee, this is kind of what they do in that first weekend of April, is when it opened, when it used to open for us, and they were just henned up really bad all day.
But but we talked about it earlier. These turkeys, the stuff that they live in,
mm-hmm,
you're talking about 18 steps is what they got to get into on a trail to be able to see them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, imagine some of these turkeys yesterday, you should have killed, we called the gobbler into inside of 20.
Yeah.
I would say.
Yeah, we just
pretty
couldn't see him.
Dadgum close to inside of 20. If it wasn't, mm-hmm, it was still gun range. Mm-hmm. You just literally couldn't see him, and you couldn't, yep, see the hen. Like, they sneak in there, like, the grass is just so tall. That's what they live in. It's not like hardwoods, easterns, you know, that you can shoot at 40 yards. These, yeah, turkeys, you just can't do it. And they're smaller,
mm-hmm,
too. So there's that. You know, smaller, and they're living in grassy swamps. Like, it's just a tough turkey to see.
You can't hear them walk.
Yeah,
you know,
can't
that's
hear
another
them.
Thing. Early season back home, there's no foliage. There's no brush on the ground, so there's not much cover.
Mm-hmm.
And you can hear them jokers walking plumb up the ridge, you know, if you're set up above them or anything like that. So you can kind of keep tabs on them and adjust, you know, either how you're turned or just whatever, because they're just, it's loud. And it's loud around here when you're walking through everything. But I mean, we'll talk about all this on, you know, another full episode, but if everything just makes noise, the palmettos are green, they make noise. When they're dead, they make noise. The mud is noisy. But we make noise because, you know, we're 200-pound dudes. But a 10 to 15-pound bird is slipping through there pretty quiet. And you couple that with all the brush and everything else that's on the ground, just limiting your visibility to, you know, minus 30 yards. And some of the longs, you know, that long range is like the long range, I guess. They can just skirt right past you, and you won't even know it.
It's tough. I mean, it's tough hunting, and but it's fun hunting out here. I mean, it's not like you get a few days out here where you can really focus. You get a good few weather days, and you're gonna find turkeys out here. That's the fun part.
Yeah.
You know, if you put your time in, like we've been doing, I keep telling Casey, which I thought he was going to stay in here and record with us, but I think he's
ready to go shower and probably go to bed. He goes to bed earlier than everybody else.
He does. The youngest guy here goes to bed earlier.
Mm-hmm.
We're just boring. That's probably what it is. We bore him.
Yep.
But I keep telling him, you know, like, this is how you kill turkeys. Mm-hmm. You just keep walking.
Yep.
Let's just keep going. We ain't hearing no gobbles, but it just takes one. Just takes one. But getting inside, getting in tight, getting into where that does shock them.
Mm-hmm.
And if nothing else, you can piss off that hen and play that little game with them. And but they are these hens are very influential around here.
Very.
They influence that gobbler more than anything else.
Yep.
More than anywhere else I've ever seen.
Yep.
They just don't really want to leave them.
I got really lucky in that I found an aggressive, chatty hen, and that got that gobbler killed, no doubt. If she hadn't said a word, we probably would have never saw that gobbler. Mm-hmm. He may have shot gobbled, but she would, if she wasn't acting aggressive or anything like that, she would not have drug him along, you know, right in front of my gun barrel.
Mm-hmm.
She would have just turned away and toted him right over into the next swamp, and that would have been it. And for all I know, I would still have two tags in my pocket. There's no telling.
Well, speaking of stupid hens, I got another story to talk about. We'll keep this. Try to keep this. These live from the fires are supposed to be short, but Joey, I don't know any way that we're going to be able to tell this story shortly, because it was a long hunt. It was a very long turkey hunt that should have been about 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
It just ended up being long and fun and memorable. I'm glad. I'm thankful for it, man. I'm thankful for that thing. I want to tell everybody, too. Joey, if you may not know Joey, but if just by some small world happen chance you ever get invited to be in the woods with him, it's just a treat, man. It's a blast getting to... I was telling him earlier after we killed this bird that it's just really fun to go. Like, we were 50, 60 yards apart at some points in this.
Mm-hmm.
And we were communicating with each other through...
Turkey calls. We were communicating in a different language.
It was cool. It was a lot of fun. I'll remember that forever. But we'll start out with that. I just kept telling Casey, like, this is how you do it. This is what we're going to do.
Yeah.
I mean, we're just going to keep going.
Yep.
I ain't got quit in me right now. It just don't exist inside of me. The only thing that's making me want to slow down is work and getting some stuff done so that I can focus harder on the turkeys.
Mm-hmm.
But we were going to go hard until it happened.
And we did.
And we did. And we didn't really, you know, in Florida... This is my third year to hunt Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And the first year, I mean, huge shout out to my buddy Jared Hurst, because he's the one who made this part happen. But I killed a turkey on the first day in Florida on a quota permit hunt that he gave me. So, you know, that is not anything to do with me. It's not a skill set thing. We didn't even make a turkey sound that whole morning.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
He flew down, hit the ground, and I shot him. but the second one, you know, the second turkey was on the third day, which was only my second day of hunting. I shot back-to-back turkeys in Florida, so I'm like, you know, cloud nine, like, let's go back to Florida. This place is awesome. Florida's the best place for me, you know. I want to move to Florida during turkey season. Fast forward to last year, I go out, shoot a turkey on the second day of the season, feeling pretty daggone good about myself. You know, I think I've heard Coach Strickland say this before, and I think it may be just a phrase, too, so correct me if I'm wrong, but the once a guy's killed three turkeys, you can't teach him anything else. All right. Once a guy's killed three turkeys on his own, you can't teach him anything else about turkey hunting or something like that?
No, I don't think it's that. I think it's I've heard Walt say it multiple times. It's after you've killed three turkeys, at least a certain way, you've decided how you want to kill turkeys. I think that's
that probably makes sense, but that's a different thing.
Yeah.
He's basically saying, like, once a guy's killed three turkeys, he's a cocky son of a gun.
And you get set in your set in your ways.
Yep.
So, yep.
But once you kill three turkeys in Florida, you're like, wow, this place freaking, let's go, you know. Yeah. And then I came out, and this is Walt. I went into one of his spots later last year and killed another turkey, like on day like three of that hunt. And so like I feel pretty effective, pretty efficient in Florida. And this year just didn't it wasn't going that way. I told y'all, told you a while ago, Chicken Buck and I and Casey went out those first 2 days. And I was confident, man. We were hearing gobbles. We went out scouting the day before season. Turkey's freaking hammering on this island at like, what, like
9 o'clock in the morning? Yeah,
10. At 10 a.m.
Yeah.
To nothing, on his own. We were just walking in there. We could have killed him that day.
Yeah.
100%, except it was the day before season. So we turned around, walked out, go back, get on him that next day. Gobble, 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 you know, a couple gobbles here and there. Had one little short kind of volley with him. And then it was over. You know, it was pretty much done. We sat there all freaking day. All day. Next day, we get in there. We're like, okay, we know exactly what these turkeys did. They did the same thing 2 days in a row. We're going to go sit on that spot, on that island of trees all day. You know what we did? We sat on that island of trees all day until a turkey started gobbling. And then we went and chased that turkey for a minute. Should have killed him. He ended up going back to that island that we weren't on. And so for an hour, we weren't on there. From daylight to 5 p.m. For 1 hour, we weren't on that place because we were chasing this turkey. You know, he ended up right back on that island.
Yep.
So, yeah, it was just freaking frustrating, you know, because you're like, man, like, am I that rusty right now? Like,
that first turkey, man, it's a giant gorilla on your back until it happens. And it just keeps getting heavier and heavier
every
each passing day. Don't kill one.
We'd get in the truck, and of course we were taking the boat out there and hiking in and swamp stomping and like it was, we were tired, you know, me and Kate, I'd tell Casey, we'd get in the car immediately. Well, Casey, that's a long day of turkey hunting.
Yeah.
And it was
a few of those this
week. It were some long days of turkey hunting, but Patreon camp ended. You and I stayed, me, you and Casey stayed, and it's been like, all right, let's hunt. Let's like, let's go hard. We're not worried about being back at camp and the fellowship and all. That was fun. That was awesome. But we're going to hunt turkeys. And it took a couple days, but we finally made it happen. I'm trying to remember what all happened that first day. What did we...
That morning. Let's see.
Wait, that was the morning me and Casey, it rained that morning, that very first day. It rained. We heard a gobbler. We bumped him. It was stupid. Then it started pouring rain. We went and got breakfast. Then we all went and set up in that same spot, in that area. Casey got charged by a pig.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
So, that was freaking wild.
We need to save that one for the, for the full podcast, because that's crazy.
That was one of the crazier parts of the whole trip. But ended up calling in a turkey that day.
Yeah.
And probably a male turkey. Unsure of what type of male turkey he was. And I had him at 20 yards. I had the side on him. My red dot was on him. And I'm asking Casey, and Casey's like, I think it's a hen. And I'm looking, I'm like, man, that head don't look hen-ish. But you just couldn't tell. It's so shadowy in there.
You couldn't confirm it.
And it was just bebopping in and out. You saw it for a few seconds, and you said the head looked red.
Yeah, I thought the head looked red. But again, you know, darting in and out of the shadows and sunshine, I couldn't confirm it either.
It's hard to tell.
So
that was, you know, I was thinking about that. I thought about it for a while that night, like, man, who gets a turkey at 20 yards and can't identify it like that, you know, like, it's dumb. So the next day we decided what we were going to do was just road strike them. Mm-hmm. And we did. Mm-hmm. We started out that morning. And it's not something I've done much of because I don't like, I haven't typically liked it. It's not been all that successful for me to go to a gate and start trying to strike a bird.
Yep.
We go to a couple gates, nothing. Man, one of these gates is going to happen. We're going to get it. We're trying to be positive the whole time.
Well, this is Wednesday.
Yeah.
The hunt. The previous day was Tuesday, and we hunted with Walt for a little bit that day. That's when we hunted that private land turkey that morning.
Oh, yeah.
So we can, I don't know, we could probably say, we can save that one for the full episode, too, because, you know, Walt was there. And we'll all chat about that on the next episode. But, yeah, Monday was the afternoon.
That's right.
Casey got charged by the pig, and all that stuff happened with that turkey at 20 yards. Tuesday, Walt hunted with us, and we hunted the private land turkey that was in camp. and then Walt had to go home, and you, Casey, and I came to the area that we hunted the rest of the week.
We set up shop in a new area.
Yep.
And that was a good call.
Yep.
So we did that, tried to roost birds, I think, maybe that evening, didn't we?
Yeah.
Unsuccessfully.
Yep.
Didn't hear much. The next morning,
We kind of left off, we kind of picked up where we left off Tuesday because we were riding around Tuesday just trying to strike a gobble at fly up from the road, just trying to cover as much ground as possible. And just get ears on as much ground as possible. And we did not hear a turkey that evening. And then Wednesday, we got up. We were like, hey, you know, we gotta just find a bird. If we can get one gobbling on the roost or hear one gobbling on the roost, then we make a play. But we just got to find the things first.
And it took a little bit, but not much. I mean, we went out and listened to a spot. At first light, nothing, move on. And that's hard to do for me. It really is. Because I want to give it I want to give it time.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not how you hunt this way. You can't give it time. You're trying to strike those ones that really want to gobble.
Yep.
Right? And so we go there, spend a little bit of time there, and then we just start hitting spot. Mm-hmm. One of them, we get out of the car, and, I mean, we weren't standing there. We didn't even call. And we hear turkeys gobble. There's a gobbling turkey over there.
Yep.
Well, there were some people that had parked a ways away, you know, a little ways away. And so we didn't really want to crowd them too bad, but there was a turkey gobbling straight in from the road, right?
Right.
And when we pulled up the maps, what it actually looked like is that he was gobbling at the end of another trail.
That kind of looped around.
Yeah. And so I was like, hey, let's see if somebody's not there. And so we get there. Nobody's there. Mm-hmm. We go in there, make a play, pop, 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 cut him, I mean, a couple times and get him excited, and he starts going freaking nuts.
Mm-hmm.
And we are able to get in pretty quickly. We get into about 150, maybe.
Yeah, and, you know, looking back, we probably could have gotten closer.
Sure, we could have.
But that's shoulda, woulda, coulda. But we went down that trail. We kind of set up. That's the time we kind of set up on the trail, right?
We set up on the trail, got him really fired up, and then made another big loop around.
Yep.
And got closer to him.
Mm-hmm.
And then there ended up being. Oh, remember there was that one, and then we were like, "There's another turkey gobbling, and it sounds like it might be across the road."
Right.
And so we wanted to get over closer to him to see which one was hotter.
Yep.
Really. And by the time we get over there, they're all together, and.
Well, they eventually come together. I think we had set up or gotten down. We had looped around and gotten kind of in amongst them. We thought we were going to get in between them and just have like perfect scenario, two gobblers, you know, coming together, right there in our lap. And we get down in there and we hear them both gobbling, and they're what, maybe 100 yards away, at the most. Each of them, they're still kind of separated, but we push in a little bit, but we don't want to push in any further, and we set up and we start calling. We're just reacting to them because they're gobbling on their own, and so what we're just trying to do is just keep them amped up And so they're gobbling, and we're cutting them off, and we're answering them, and they double gobble, and they triple gobble, and all this other great, awesome stuff. And they do end up coming together. Like, they get together, and I remember they were gobbling at each other. It was almost like they were just in each other's faces and just yelling at each other. And we thought, oh, man, this is so
perfect. And then at some point, I don't even remember when it actually happened. At some point, like, four different other turkeys started gobbling on,
yeah, like way
on other
distance.
Sides of us. And then there eventually became three.
Right.
I believe. Mm-hmm. I believe it was three gobblers and maybe a Jake that would gobble every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
We'll tell about that in a minute. But there ended up being like three. And then probably we sat on them there. I mean, at some point we thought about 30 minutes into this first set right on the edge of the swamp or right when we were together still. It was like, okay, this is about to happen.
Yeah.
We're about to double on these freaking turkeys.
Yeah, we were about
And I'm telling Casey, like, get ready. They're about to pop up.
Yeah.
They're coming. Yeah. They're coming. They're coming. Here they come. Yep, they're coming. And then they just never come.
They never come.
Like, it ends up being an hour. They're still freaking...
They're still going at it.
Going crazy, but they're just not coming. They're just staying there, and they get hung up. And there was a hen that just kind of...
She slipped in there.
Yeah, just kind of said, hey...
I heard her. I'm very confident I heard her, but I didn't hear her until she was just right there amongst them.
Uh-huh.
It was almost like when I heard her, she was like right on the edge of everything.
Yep.
And she just got their attention, and it was just a whole different ball game right then and there.
Yep.
That turned that 30-minute hunt into a 4.5-hour hunt. And that is not exaggerating.
Nope.
From the time we struck this bird, we turned our trackers on. From the time that Parker shot that bird, it was legit 4.5 hours.
4.5 hours of absolute...
It was mayhem.
Chaos. Yeah. It was like... When you told me, you said, that was 4.5 hours, I was like, what?
It felt like two.
It felt like two. I mean, it felt like a long time, but it didn't feel like 4.5 hours.
It was half a work day.
Uh-huh. And we were like... So let's get into where we think they're coming. They're not...
Mm-hmm.
They get hung up. We figure out that there's something is keeping them there. We don't know what this barrier is at this point. But we also know that we don't really have the space to move the other direction without really getting too close to where we figure other people are at.
Correct.
Because obviously there's 85 gobbling turkeys right here, and we're probably not the only people hunting them, right? That's just the truth. And so we didn't want to get too close to them. And really the play is, let's freaking somebody kill a turkey. Let's get on the other side so this turkey does not get away. And that was what happened. But we did end up making a move once these turkeys got to our side, or like got to where it's like, okay, this is close. They're somewhere close. I think we kind of had the ability to make whatever moves we needed to make.
Yeah.
You know? And we did. We got in there. Got in pretty tight. But I would say it was about 70 yards when they hung up. Pretty close to it. 70 to 80. Maybe. But they would kind of work their way off. And then they'd come back. We'd get them fired up again. They'd come back. And so I look back at you and I said, all right, you stay here. We're going to just walk. We're going to creep. Try to creep up a little bit and get a little bit closer. They've worked their way off. Let's go get to where they've been comfortable before and see if they'll come back again, because we know that they've been doing that back and forth.
They've been pacing. It was a big strut zone. They would get, it wasn't out of earshot, but you could tell that they were farther away. It was probably, I don't know, did they move, 100 yards, maybe?
Sure, yeah, it was probably 100 yards.
Just moving around in this area, and that hen was probably just toting them around while she was feeding. She was just down there feeding and doing whatever she needed to do, and they would not leave her at all.
Yeah, and I never actually heard a hen, I don't think.
I think I heard her just, like I said, initially when she first showed up. I'm confident I heard a hen. Now, looking back and after we actually talked to the guy, spoiler alert, that was parked on that next trailhead, they actually came up to us afterwards and were talking with us. That could have been them that I heard.
I do remember hearing a hen over there, and I think I think I just assumed it was somebody else. Oh, you know what? No, well, let's not give it away because he was he was his own.
That was a whole different situation.
Yeah, it was a whole different situation. He threw us off big time.
Yep.
but anyways, these turkeys get in there, and so we start making moves, and it ends up being about how long did we actually make those moves? That was about 2.5 of
good,
the.
It was a good couple hours at least.
Of yeah, so we moved to one tree. They gobble every once in a while. It wasn't a lot. It kind of once we started crawling on, they got really sparing with their gobbles. You know, but not still. It was still okay. You know, probably a regular Eastern, like a fired up Eastern hunt. So let's see. We get to one tree. They work their way off. We get to another tree. They work their way off a little bit. I would say it's maybe 3 hours, 3.5 hours into this. And me and Casey get to one, and we're like finally in that strut zone. And I know we're in that strut zone because we just heard them gobble right where we just set up. But they had worked their way off again. And so I was like, we're going to kill them right here.
Yeah.
This is where we're going to kill them at. Well, we probably would have, knowing what we know now. But I got tired of it. I mean, 4.5 hours is a long time.
Yep.
We got into that strut zone, and they gobbled like once or twice while we sat there for maybe an hour at that spot. We may have sat there for an hour. I don't know. I dozed off a couple times, to be honest with you. Like, I was tired. I was beat. And like a couple times when it would go 15, 20 minutes without a gobble, you start like, okay, are they there? Are they still there? Yeah. Okay, all right, they're there. All right, cool. They're there. All right, so we get to this spot, and I tell Casey, I was like, okay, you see this palmetto? There's like a patch of palmettos in between. There's a wall. And I said, if they come through that, they're going to be close whenever we see them. Really close. Like, we're not going to have much time, I don't think, because it's midday at this point. The sun's over us pretty much, and it's shining down, and everything's pretty bright, you know, and it's like there's a good chance they're going to see us if they come through that. But if they get hung up there for a little while and we can tell they're hung up there a little further back, we can use that cover of that palmetto to creep up in there and get a set and be probably in gun range once we get there. And so we start, they gobble one time, and I tell Casey, let's go. And he was like, all right. And so we start walking, and so far we've been in dry land the whole time, not really realizing, I don't think, that there was a real swamp right there. We knew there was some muddy stuff, but not like an actual swamp, like a cypress swamp. And so we start creeping, and then all of a sudden we start sinking. So then we start having to use kind of the wind to make our moves. It's midday, so the wind's kind of breezy. You know, it's a little breezy. Every once in a while, it'd blow those palms. And when it blows the palms, it gets loud. And we would use those to kind of... Which, shout out to light boots, man. Like, these light boots, I hated on them when I first wore them the first time because they were very uncomfortable the first wear. But now that they're broken in, dude, creeping through the mud is 10 times easier in those boots versus an 18-pound any other boot.
Right.
It is awesome. Anyway, so we start creeping through this mud, and it's a little bit loud, but we're doing all right. And about halfway through, almost to the palmettos, Casey says, stop, stop. I see a hen. There's a hen. So I see her, too, almost the same time. I see her walking through. She's just an ugly little heifer. She's just stupid-looking little buzzard, you know? Ugly thing walks through the opening, and I was like, just a gray headed. I was like, well, that ain't a gobbler. And I started thinking about your story, right? And we had all talked about this at camp about how these turkeys are all getting killed by a hen basically bringing them by the bead.
Yep.
You know? Mm-hmm. And I thought about that. And I'm like, okay. She was in gun range whenever we saw her. I could have shot a gobbler in that spot if it would have been a gobbler.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, all right, I think we're going to get shot. I think it's about to go down. I texted you. We see them.
Mm-hmm.
And I put my phone away. We creeped up just a little bit further. He said, stop. I see her again. And she had kind of popped up, and she was coming. She was beelining towards us. That's why I say this probably would have happened even if we hadn't crawled,
mm-hmm.
because she was coming to us,
mm-hmm.
like directly to us. And so I looked up, and then I see the gobbler up probably a good 60 to 80 yards. It was kind of hard to tell,
mm-hmm.
but he was up on top of a log,
mm-hmm.
like a like 5 foot up in the air, a log that was laid over.
Mm-hmm.
He was up on top of that, and I was like, I think I see him, Casey. I'm pretty sure I see him. And then I saw the other one go right underneath him, and I was like, that's definitely him.
Mm-hmm.
Holy cow. And dude, they gobbled one more time over there. I don't know if you remember that. They, like, right before I shot, they gobbled.
Mm-hmm.
They both gobbled, like, 2 or 3 times.
Yeah.
For whatever reason. She would kind of started moving away from them, I guess. And Casey, I'm trying to think. I got to a position to where once she came up, I would be able to shoot anything that followed her. And I was kind of on my knees. And I got in position. And it wasn't a few seconds later, Casey said, I see him. And I just kind of moved over to the side, and once I did that, I could see a strutter.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think I felt like 25 minutes that I was had my red dot on his head, and he just stayed in strut. He would not break strut.
Mm-hmm.
And then I see another male turkey come over to the side. I couldn't tell if it was a gobbler or a Jake,
mm-hmm.
but I knew the one strutting was a gobbler because I'd seen his fan.
Mm-hmm.
And so once Casey said, I'm on him, I shoot, freaking roll him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he moved a muscle. Like, that joker was stone dead. And I look back at Casey, and Casey's like real concerned. Like, real concerned looking. And I'm like, yeah, we got him, dude. Heck yeah. I start running. And I look back at Casey. I was like, dude, did you see him strutting? And he was like, no. I was like, are you kidding me? You didn't see that? He was like strutting and drumming. Oh, that was the other thing. Casey got to hear drumming for the first time, spitting and drumming.
Man.
They did that crap all morning long. It was so cool. Like, if it was one of those things where if somebody had never heard it,
mm-hmm.
that was the morning.
Yep.
That was the morning for it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you were going to hear it. It was amazing. Absolutely mm-hmm. amazing. And so ended up, Casey was on the other turkey when I shot the strutter, which is not a big deal. They were right next to each other, but
mm-hmm.
it's just a thick swamp. And there we were, man. Finally made it happen. Finally made it happen on this trip. And 4.5 hours of maybe 400 gobbles that morning.
It was the most gobbles I think I'd ever heard, especially on birds that I was set up on. It's totally different when you just have like a bunch of turkeys on the roost and they're everywhere and they're gobbling for however long before fly down and blah 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 blah. No, these were gobbles on the ground. Yep. In response to calls that we were making. It was absolutely insane. It was mentally, it was physically challenging. You know, while all this is going on, all the big long story that Parker just told, I was only in eyesight of them for probably what'd we say, like that first hour.
Yeah.
Or so.
Maybe.
And then I'm still in the back. I'm still leaned up against that same tree. And every time Parker would call, I would call. Because, you know, he was kind of telling me, like, okay, we want to try to get them fired up again. We're going to be two hens, you know, duking it out, bickering with each other, and just raising the temperature of all the turkeys in the area. And that's what we did. So Parker would call, and I would call, and we would cut back and forth to each other. And they would gobble. And we would just try to get them so amped up that they would just break from that hen, or at least one of them would break from that hen and come to us. And it turns out that Parker and Casey had to go to them. They just weren't having anything to do with us.
No, no. And I don't think they were ever going to come anywhere except for what we figured out was the strut zone was actually not really much of a strut zone. It was just the swamp.
Yeah.
They didn't, they said, screw that dry ground.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want it. We want the mud and the water and the muck and the nasty. We like it here. And they don't leave it. We learned the very next day on your hunt
Thursday.
That those same turkeys do the exact same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they just don't want to leave the swamp.
Yep.
That's just it, dude. They just don't want to leave.
Yeah, there was at one point during your hunt that I was like, is there a barrier of some kind? Is there just a big, deep slough or something that we just don't see? Or what is going on? Why won't they just come even closer? Even that hen, like, they just weren't moving from this little spot. And it was like they weren't trapped. It was just they refused to absolutely go anywhere.
But they were just still.
Yeah.
Triple gobbling. Like, I'm not talking like just courtesy gobbles every. Like, it was still. When they got fired up, when we got them back fired up, any given time, it would be.
Mm-hmm. It was several times within, you know, like 15 minutes or something like that. Like, it was. They were in berserker mode.
I've literally never. And I don't know that I ever will have something like that happen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just hear that many gobbles at one. At some point, you're like, did I die?
Did you fork?
Yeah. Is this real?
Is this the turkey Shangri-La? Because, like we said earlier, more and more gobblers. Like, if we would have sat there all day, well, we did sit there nearly all day, but, I mean, just as a figure of speech, like, more turkeys would come into earshot of us.
Yeah.
And not just these ones that we were actually working. Like, there were other turkeys, you know, 100, like, what, 300 yards away or something. Some that you could just barely hear that were interacting with us because there was just so much chaos going on. And they just couldn't help but just be intrigued by it. It was literally pandemonium for 4.5 hours straight. And so, and also, you know, going back to, you know, when you guys were, when we separated from each other and I was still back there, and we were communicating through turkey calls. You know, you would call on, and that was my cue to call. And it was at some point, I was trying to do anything and everything back there. I did, like, fighting purrs at one time, and I've got my wing out, and I had my own, you know, WWE match back there, you know, by myself. And then I got up, and I would pace back and forth on, you know, in the little spot I was in, like 10 yards, and just moving around, you know, because I sat there for, you know, 4 hours, which is, you know, very unlike a natural hen. And so I just got up and started moving around. Like, maybe I found my own little patch of ground I don't want to leave, and I'll just move around here. And so I was waiting on the shot from the moment y'all left. Y'all took like 10 paces away from where y'all sat, and I lost sight of you for the rest of the day.
Waiting for a shot the whole day.
that's how thick it was. And, you know, we talked about how tight you got to be with these turkeys to see them. Man, like I said, when y'all moved 10 yards, I lost sight of y'all.
Uh-huh.
And y'all are two dudes, you know, moving through the swamp. Y'all not little bitty turkeys. But,
I mean, we're pretty good at it.
We've got pretty good at slipping through the swamp now.
So I told you about a guy, or there was other people that were in there, and they were definitely in there,
mm-hmm.
come to find out. So we, like any good public land turkey hunter should, we heard a car coming, and we threw the turkey in the bushes. So we threw that turkey in the bushes, and we got to talking to him, and we learned that it was, in fact, people that he said, did you get, tell me you got him.
Tell me you got him.
And I kind of looked at Joey, and we were kind of like, yeah, man, we got him. Yeah, yep. You already know. I know you know. And so we got up there and talked to him, and he was like, yeah, that was me gobbling. So he was the guy gobbling.
He was one of those gobblers that, that converged onto our location.
I don't think he was the one that we thought was across the road.
No.
I think there was an actual gobbler over there.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think there was actually three gobblers that were huntable, that we were hunting
right
at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was him gobbling. And he turned out to be just cool as heck.
Yeah.
We went over to the campsite the other day and chatted with them for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And they, like us, had decided probably about halfway through that, I don't care if I kill this turkey.
They wanted some closure as well.
Or, honestly, I didn't, at one point, I don't even care if anybody, it's just the moment, like the,
yeah.
I wanted to kill it, don't get me wrong, I wanted to kill a turkey.
Mm-hmm.
But if we didn't, man, that is
it
one of
those. It still would have made a good story.
I'd remember that forever. I'd remember it in a different tone, probably, but it would still be memorable. And, yeah, dude, I couldn't ask for a better first bird of the season. I just told my wife, like, you know, I love turkey hunting, but this doesn't feel, we haven't really got to do it.
Yeah.
We haven't got to work with a bird. Mm-hmm. It's just been like little courtesy gobbles.
Yeah.
Every now and then. It's not been anything. Like, it's just been kind of dumb.
Mm-hmm.
Not fun turkey hunting. Like, because even if you don't kill a turkey, working turkeys is fun.
Yep.
And when you get to do that, you feel a little bit of hope.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, okay, I got that close yesterday. Maybe today. I mean, maybe today it's going to be the day that he breaks or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But we were just like, man, maybe today's the day that we
look into a turkey.
Yeah. And it just turned into a, I woke up with an expectation for a day and went to sleep with a very different story. I was
confident we were going to kill a turkey that day. I don't know what it, because my thought was, you know, Saturday, I described Saturday, you know, at least for Pat and I, and Sunday was probably gonna be the same way had I not killed that turkey. And I killed that turkey at 11 o'clock, you know, midday. You know, Monday was what it was. You know, we told that story, and then Tuesday we told that story, and the recurring theme was that we would hear gobbles on the roost and we would have zero action the rest of the day. And I was like, man, something eventually has to give. Like, these birds, at least one of them has to start doing right.
Yep.
And it just happened to be that Wednesday that everything just clicked. It just turned on, at least in that area. And it kind of carried over to the next day, which we can probably save all that for, you know, when we kind of recap the whole trip, the whole week, you know, with Walt and the boys. Because we had some good hunting on Thursday.
We sure did.
Before lunch, and we'll save all that for later. But they finally turned it on, and then, you know, rain moved in this morning, Friday, and it kind of, no pun intended, put a damper on things, and we couldn't pick it back up, you know, this afternoon.
We hunted hard today.
Yeah, hunted hard. We did not hear a gobble.
No, this is the first day we didn't hear anything.
Had zero gobbles, zero turkeys, zero anything. And
Casey may have seen a turkey this morning.
Yeah, he
right
may
off
have.
Right off the bat.
Yeah, but I mean, it was a grind today, and we still didn't. I mean, we started at daylight and we didn't get done. We finally threw in the towel about 5 something.
We said, let's go get some seafood.
Yeah, we ate us a fine meal, because I'm going home tomorrow, and you know, Parker and Casey are debating leaving tomorrow, but it's been a long 7 days of turkey hunting.
It has, man, and it's a thing for me. I want to kill another turkey for sure,
mm-hmm.
but like, if I don't, I'm good. I'm not like, that was enough. Do I want to say that out loud? I'll say it out loud. That was enough gobbles. Like, that was more gobbles than probably, I can think of 3 seasons that I had that I didn't hear that many gobbles
mm-hmm.
combined.
Yeah. That was a lot.
That was a lot of gobbling.
Yeah.
Here's a crazy thing. I want to let people know this too. This is, it's not going to give away anything. We were 100 yards away from the road.
Yeah.
From the freaking road. Like, yep. Like not the highway, not an interstate, you know, not something that's like, I'm talking about the main WMA road.
Right.
Like,
yeah,
we were 150 yards from it.
Mm-hmm.
When all this is happening.
Mm-hmm.
I can't tell you how many trucks drove by us. Not knowing
what was going on.
What was freaking going on in the woods next to them. Dude, sometimes those trucks would drive by and the turkeys would gobble and it was awesome.
Yeah.
Because it would give it away. It'd give them away. Like, okay, we're good. They're still there.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought about that a lot, dude. Like, if I could take away anything from this deal, I said it today while I was messing around. I was like, all right, boys, I'll meet you guys at the front gate. I'm just going to walk this whole road, and I'm just going to cut my way down the road.
Yep.
All 15 miles.
It was the exact opposite of what you hear about Florida turkeys. Like, not they don't gobble, and they're really hard to hunt. They don't, they're very uncooperative, blah, 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 blah. Which, in general, that's probably true. But they're not any different than any other turkey in this country. I mean, they do turkey things, and they respond like turkeys, and if you catch them in the right mood, they are fun to call in and kill. But given the environment, the terrain, the weather, there are all these different variables that are going on down in Florida, they are hard to hunt. But, you know, given the right turkey on the right day and the right terrain, he's just another turkey. And I'm not trying to, you know, degrade the turkeys down here or anything like that, but I said it a couple times this week. I think some people just put these turkeys on a pedestal, and myself included. I was scared to death before I come down here about all these crazy turkeys and everything else going on. But once you get down in here and you get in amongst turkeys, you quickly realize, okay, I have to treat these just like I would an Eastern back home, but I have all these other things, these environmental things to take mm-hmm. into account, and that affects how you hunt. And so you just have to quickly adapt to how you hunt to be successful down here.
That's great, dude.
Well, thank you.
That was really well thought out. That was put together well. I like that.
So
I was scared to death too, man, when I came to Florida. The thing that gave me a little bit of peace, I guess, in the situation was my friend Jared Hurst. Mm-hmm. He had drawn this quota hunt that was apparently like a really, really good one.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why the guy gave it to me. But he was like, hey, man, I drew another one, so I'm good. Like, you want to come down and hunt? I know you want to kill your Osceola. Like,
mm-hmm.
okay, yeah, sure, you know. And at this point, I don't think we had ever actually met in person. Mm-hmm. But I was still scared to death of it. I was like, mm-hmm. man, but it's Florida. Like, if it don't work there, I hear what all these Florida guys say, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I'd hunted Florida for deer before, and it's a completely different. It's weird, dude. Like, you could be, if it were deer season and we were trying to hunt deer right now,
mm-hmm.
we would be so, like, defeated, out of our element. There's nothing here.
Mm-hmm.
This place is void of living organisms. Like, it's just like, there's nothing here.
Right.
Because there's not a lot of deer. Like, it's not, like, crazy deer environment. But the thing I love about Florida, dude, is there's so many animals. When you mm-hmm. step in a pile of mud in mm-hmm. the swamp on a sunny day, there's life in it, dude. Like, there's freaking worms and there's snakes. Dude, yeah. We've almost stepped on three cottonmouths.
Wow.
Three of them. No, four. Three cottonmouths and a copperhead.
Yeah, I remember. I was with
you. You were with me for the copperhead. I got real close on that copperhead, and that joker was fast. There was one cottonmouth in the morning, like, walking in the dark.
Ooh.
And I saw him under my headlamp. Yeah.
Golly.
Yeah, dude. And, you know, but, you know, what's crazy is I never, like, I used to always flip out if a snake caught me off guard.
Mm-hmm.
Out here, you're just like, oh, there's freaking snakes here. I know they're here.
I mean, just add it to the list of strange critters that are just roaming around.
You take a step and a crab comes out of it. I'm serious.
Yeah, like little fiddler crabs.
Little fiddler crabs come out of the mud when you mm-hmm. take a step. It's just, if you'll take it in, if you'll really see Florida for what it is, It is a freaking jungle. Mm-hmm. And it's cool. It's a cool place to hunt turkeys.
Yeah.
Even if you don't kill one, it's a cool place to hunt turkeys.
Yeah.
It's a cool place. I was thinking about it walking through today, like, how weirded out I would be if I saw all the palm tree bark mm-hmm. that falls, you know, that looks like big old...
Like spikes.
Yeah, like pelvic bones or something. Yeah. Like, they're wild looking. If you saw a bunch of those mm-hmm. in the woods of Tennessee, you'd be like, "What in the world?
Who dumped out some?
What in the Captain Morgan is this?"
Yeah, like some old lady just got tired of dealing with these palm trees and just went and planted them off in the woods. You don't see stuff like that in Tennessee.
No, and it's literally here.
Yeah,
like it's here. It's in the United States. Like you can just. You can drive a little ways and experience it, man. I'd come fishing here, like mm-hmm. it's a cool place, man. I can't say enough good things about not even about the state of Florida, but just about experiencing something different.
Yeah.
I think that's one thing I can always appreciate about turkey hunting is it's mm-hmm. taking me to some different places.
Yeah.
Places Florida, I never thought I'd go.
Florida is without a doubt the most unique environment I've hunted turkeys in, and I'm not, you know, I've turkey hunted for 20 something years now, but I've only been to a handful of states, you know, out west a couple of times, and you know, Jacob and I went down to Mexico. We've seen some different country, but Florida is just another level of different. And I remember I said today, I was like, 20 years ago, if you would have told the little kid that I was sitting in his brush blind with his Lynch box call and hatchback Belgian brown and that you'd be hunting turkeys in these swamps, you know, in 20 something years and in the environment that we were hunting in this week, I would have been scared to death. I probably would have laughed at you and never thought that that would have even occurred. But it is a huge learning experience, and it definitely, it's going to do nothing but help me, you know, going forward, just like any other place you go to. It's just, there's a lot to absorb when you come down here.
I feel like I've learned so. Oh, I learned yeah. so much on Wednesday mm-hmm. from those turkeys
mm-hmm.
and what they did. I mean, I've learned so much. Maybe not today. Day before yesterday and Wednesday.
Yeah.
Man, dude, I felt like in those days. I told Casey he got a flipping clinic.
Yep.
That day, he's a new turkey hunter, mm-hmm. a good one. A good new turkey hunter.
He's a good woodsman, I can just tell.
Yeah, he walks quietly. You don't have to tell him anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, I told him the other day, it took him a little bit long to get his his stuff on, and I was like, hey, bud, I'm not super critical most of the time, but it takes you a long time to get set up, bro.
You can put your leafy suit on at the truck. You know that, bro.
He said that the next day.
And not within 100 yards of goblin turkeys.
He said that the next day. He was like, hey, I think I'll put my stuff on now so I'm ready. I was like, yeah. Yeah, Casey's the freaking best, dude. He's awesome.
Yeah, I've really enjoyed hanging out with him this week. He's the best.
So, well, Joey, we've been talking for an hour and 5 minutes and 59 seconds.
Yeah, it's been a long one, but, I mean, we condensed...
It could have been longer.
between our two hunts, it was like 4 hours and 45 minutes. And we condensed it down to an hour, roughly. But, oh, man, I've had such a good time down here. And I can't wait to come back next year. You know, we'll more than likely probably have another Patreon hunt, as far as I know. We might have it down here in Florida.
I think we're always going to have our Patreon hunt in Florida. I don't think we ever plan to get away from that for turkeys.
And you're not going to get an argument from me about that, because I am happy to come back down here and get hurt emotionally once again.
Heck yeah, man. And talk about good weather, man. We've had cool days. It's been awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Great way to experience Florida. But yeah, let's sign off. I think in this conversation, I have decided mm-hmm. that I'm going to accept what Florida has given me
mm-hmm.
for what it is, mm-hmm. and I'm going to go see my kids.
That's a good, yeah, me too.
Yep.
I'm going to go see mine tomorrow too, and I can't wait.
Yep, that's what I'm going to do. And, I mean, I've got all the time I want in the world to fill this second tag, but I think it's hard not to be satisfied by that kind of hunt.
Yep, we'll you will have earned the next turkey, regardless if it's a 5 minute off the roost hunt or, you know, another 4.5 hour battle like we had the other day. But we have earned the next turkey, let's just say that.
Yep.
No matter what happens on the next one, we've earned it.
That's right. Well, let's sign off of this thing, man. Let's get to bed.
Get to bed.